25th is now in session. First order of business is the call to order and the roll call. Commission members, Gary East.
Here.
Bob Berman.
Here.
Jim Hanselman.
Here.
Braulio Escobar.
Here.
Robert Baer.
Here.
Bill Brannigan. John Updike is excused. First order of next business is the approval of the Planning Commission work session minutes of July 28th.
I'll bring it up here.
And the regular session meeting on the 28th. And wait a minute, I gotta get all this stuff. Yeah, I'm waiting for it.
It's coming up. I did and have one.
And the work session meetings of August 11th.
Does he have a right to do this? Or not?
Do what?
Does he have a right to do this?
It's a public meeting. Anybody can come to the public meeting.
I don't want him to be doing it. I told him already.
Okay.
He needs to scratch out or erase it or what? Or you guys can give me back the four orbs that you're stealing and hook it up everything on. Tesla here. Tesla.
Okay, if you have a problem with his actions, the police department is right down at the end of the hall.
Days before everything's over, you know, we might as well just give this all up, because what these guys and all you have done over in Corvallis is use what it is, this lighting system.
Excuse me, this is not the time for public comment.
Right, I mean, if you got an issue with him, you should go see the police. We're not law officials.
On the, which one are we looking at here? The regular session minutes, July 28th.
And I could think of no reason to prohibit it.
Sherry, the
public space.
There was a initiate legislative process for city center. And you said motion carried unanimously with everybody but Braulio. So it can't be unanimous unless Braulio is included.
Do you want this?
Even though he wasn't physically here.
How many trees have we cut down?
That's all I had. So I moved to approve the three sets of minutes as written and corrected.
Second.
Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the meeting minutes are approved. Next up is the citizens' public comment.
He left.
Apparently he left. Okay. So much for that.
I didn't fill out a piece of paper, but if I could just make a quick comment.
We're in public comment. Are we there?
Sorry, yeah. I'm home, got a charger. Didn't have time to fill that out. My name's AJ. I live here in town. In the work session, I heard it brought up about the transient room tax flexibility. And I actually was going over last week's work sessions from the city council, and I was heard part of the projects that were completed this year was that the HVAC system for the community rec center, 25% of the budget to do that came from the transient room tax. So I'm just wondering how there's flexibility for HVAC systems at the rec center, but not parking lots at the arts center.
Well, we have a separate commission on parking.
Mm-hmm.
And it meets on the third Wednesday of every month at 6 o'clock in this room. And part of the, since we have put in, if you want to say, the parking meters,
mm-hmm.
and the
well,
money.
That was to improve things like the striping, or maybe possibly.
Well, it could involve
that
could
parking
involve
lot that's out of ADA compliance.
I don't know that it involves HVAC, but it involves all the street sidewalks, lighting, and so on throughout the city.
Right, right, right. So I'm wondering, because we have not got authorization to use the transient room tax to restripe parking lots or fix the parking lot that is out of ADA compliance at the Arts Center, but how is it that we are able to use it for an HVAC system at the rec center.
That's a function of how the budget system works. The budget committee, the city council sets percentages, which are approved, I think they get approved by the state, but allocation percentages for transient room tax.
Mm-hmm.
Some percentage can go to the general fund, less than 50%, and the rest has to be spent on very specific categories. One of those is tourism promotion, so we spend money on billboards. The other one is maintenance of tourist facilities, and the council has decided that the rec center is 25% used by tourists and 75% by locals, so 25% of the cost of that project can be paid for out of those funds.
I appreciate that explanation.
Okay. If you don't agree with the allocation, and I don't know if they've allocated anything for parking, out of the transient room tax, I don't believe they're allowed to. There's a list of categories in the budget, mm-hmm. and that's available on the website. It'll show you exactly what's allowed and what percentage we chose to allocate mm-hmm. to different buckets.
I think you gave me a very good explanation of 25% of the use is by tourists at the rec center.
Right.
I appreciate that. Maybe we should look into how much of our tourist percentage is at the arts center. Thank you, Council.
Some of it commission. Is. I know they do use some transient room tax for maintenance on the arts center, but it's a fairly small percentage, and I don't know. But you can see in the budget what that allocation table is,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure whether you need to make comment before the city council if you don't agree with those allocations. What we're trying to do is increase the comment I made. We're trying to get the okay from the state
mm-hmm.
to increase the percentage that goes
I have seen the city actively trying to loosen how that can be spent. I do appreciate that in general, yes.
And, you know, for example, potholes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we got 10,000 residents and 15,000 tourists this weekend.
It sounds like the general streets might be applicable for that.
But it's not at the moment.
Well, hopefully we can fix that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Good question. Okay. May I ask why you're filming? Is that just a documentary of some sort? Or?
I'm a journalist. I disseminate information to the public. So that's probably going to be disseminated to the public. If you want to check it out, my YouTube channel is Rebel with a Cause.
Rebel with a Cause. Okay.
Thank you, boss.
Thank you for coming.
Hey, Bob, there's just one other thing to keep in mind, too, and I know you guys have had that conversation because you've served on the budget committee, too, is the definition and statute of what constitutes a tourist facility and not. You were alluding to it.
Yeah.
You know, street maintenance, even though tourists use it, is not eligible for use of room tax. So you start to get
change. Yeah.
So that's where you start to get into some of those gray areas. You know, whereas other things like, you know, maintaining a facility like a public restroom, for example, that's used by tourists on the bayfront is an easy one to qualify. So
mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks for the clarification.
Okay. We have nobody on Zoom. However, since we do have somebody in attendance back here, this is not quasi-judicial legislative hearings, okay. I need to read a statement since this is a public hearing section. This is the time set for a public hearing on a proposal to adopt or amend the Newport Comprehensive Plan, land use regulations contained in the Newport Municipal Code, map inventories, or other policy documents that affect the entire city or large portions of it. And we have two items up. One has to do with wastewater, and I'm not sure what the other one is. It's my
housekeeping
amendments. And, okay, this statement applies to all hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented toward the request being heard must be directed toward the relevant criteria in the Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards, which the Speaker believes to apply to the decision. The failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals, which is known as LUBA, based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for an appeal to LUBA shall be raised not later than the close of the record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such an issue shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and the parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. The failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made, then the Planning Commission, at its discretion, may continue the hearing to a date certain and establish a schedule for the submittal of additional testimony. At this time, I would ask Commission members to disclose any actual or potential financial interest they may have related to these agenda items. I'm hearing none. Okay. If anyone present has an objection to the participation of any commissioner or the commission as a whole, please raise that issue now. Nope. Okay. Okay. This is a legislative hearing for the purpose of adopting or amending the city's comprehensive plan, map inventories, land use regulations, or other policy documents. The Planning Commission is required to hold at least one public hearing before making a recommendation to the City Council on how to proceed with a legislative proposal. The City Council will hold a public hearing at a later date at which it will consider the Commission's recommendation and will take additional public testimony. A few additional announcements. The hearing will proceed in the following order. We will have the staff report, followed by public testimony. The record will then close for public testimony. The Planning Commission will deliberate and have come up with any questions. The Commission will make a recommendation, and the Planning Commission has the option of continuing the hearing to a date certain to allow additional testimony or to further consider evidence in the record before it makes a recommendation. All testimony and evidence submitted, either oral or in writing, must be directed toward the relevant issues. If any person believes that other issues apply in addition to those addressed in the staff report, those issues must be discussed while the record is open during public testimony. If you fail to raise an issue on the record, supported by statements or evidence sufficient to give the city or other parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you may be precluded from appealing on that issue to the Land Use Board of Appeals. We've got sign-up cards in the back. If you want to testify regarding this, then you can bring those cards up to the front to our recording secretary over here. And I don't see any, so we can probably move on from that. Okay, so the first item up is file number 2, CP-25, amendments to the wastewater section of the comprehensive plan. Staff report.
Thank you, Derek Tokos, Community Development. So the way capital facilities planning works in Oregon is you do facility master plans, and then you incorporate the project recommendations from those facility plans into your comprehensive plan. And it's a step that's required by state administrative rule. And what we have here is exactly that. The city had elected to do its wastewater treatment master plan update in two parts. We did the collection side of it in 2018. You did the amendments at that time. And in 2025, the city completed the plan for the water treatment plant proper, and that's what's before us here. The nature of the amendments, which you had a chance to review in work session, really just incorporate the population projections. They explain the difference between the two plans, and then they adopt the projects in specifically out of that wastewater treatment plant master plan, and then they adopt into the goals and policies the wastewater treatment plant master plan that was done by Brown and Caldwell in 2025. And what the so this addresses the administrative rule requirement. And once these are formally adopted into our comp plan, then the projects will be eligible for construction funding from programs like those that Oregon DEQ has for assisting local governments with low-income loans and whatnot to make the necessary upgrades to water treatment plants like ours. Now, it's aging. And so a lot of what will be done near term would be just modernization at the plant. But it's important we have them in the comp plan so that we're eligible for those state monies. So I have. Yep.
Typo in the ordinance.
Okay.
Point nine. Date in there can't possibly be correct for the public hearing.
Got it. Let's take a look at the
March 9th, 2020.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember that day.
Better memory than me.
Yeah. I'll fix the date in the draft ordinance.
Yeah. Okay.
Good catch.
I'm not sure. I did an exhibit A.
Mm-hmm.
It says there was going to be underlining and strike through, and I never found any.
They are, but when I converted the PDF, it accepted them as changes, so they're now it shows them as final. So sorry about that.
It was just a little hard to.
The changes are in there. It just converted them over.
Okay. And there wasn't anything even slightly controversial.
Oh no. I mean, this is just no.
Then I move we forward ordinance number 2025-05, amending the wastewater sections of the comprehensive plan to the city council with a recommendation of approval. Is that the right way to say that?
Yep. Sure. Well done. Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussions? I guess not. Okay. We got a motion and we got a second. So all in favor of file number 2-CP-25 forwarding to the city council, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstains? Nothing. Approved. Okay. Next is file number 3-Z-25, a draft zoning ordinance housekeeping amendments.
Thank you, Derek Tokos, Community Development. On this one, I'm going to go ahead and do a share screen if that works for you. Because I do want to, I highlighted that language from House Bill 2005 that I plugged in here, but. Share. Okay, I'm going to stop there right now. So. So what we have here is the housekeeping package that you had a chance to review in work sessions. Work session was to define the scope of the housekeeping work, and then the other one, you looked at the specific changes. And what I did in the ordinance on this one was list out specifically where all of the changes were and what the nature of each change was, and that's what you saw in the draft there. So all of these should have looked familiar since we'd covered them. But as I said, when I was going through the legislative stuff, we did flag that one package of changes that are mandated in House Bill 2005 that deal with residential treatment facilities, and I'll show you where those changes are made. I've highlighted them first in a finding, which talks about instead of one bill, two bills. And then you'll see under R and a new S. So in the residential use list, residential facilities are being allowed outright in the R1 and R2 zones. They're currently not allowed there. And I'll show you again where those are made in the matrix proper. Yeah. But as you recall, we just looked at the bill. The bill mandates we make the change. So instead of having to do a legislative process by itself for such a minor change, it seems reasonable just to go ahead and plug it in here. Same drill for the commercial industrial use list with the limitations in industrial areas that we discussed at work session. I'll touch on those too.
Why in one do we say residential facilities and the other one we say both residential care homes and residential facilities?
We didn't need to make a change to residential care homes on the residential list. They were permitted in all zones, so we didn't need to make a change there.
Okay. All right, good.
Just for the residential facilities on the residential list. And then the rest, I mean, these were all ones we discussed in work session. You know, it runs the gamut here. Most of it's just cleaning up a lot of confusing language. HB 2138 mandated changes, cleaning up inaccurate street references, just the kind of stuff you'd expect with housekeeping type stuff. Bad references to subdivision, old subdivision codes. I explicitly listed what each of the changes are here for a legislative record, so it's clear why the change was made. And it's a lot of different chapters of the code because we went through it comprehensively. But it did allow me to pull out the I could lift the staff explanations, and that shrunk this down a little bit.
We didn't get the highlighted version, or I didn't anyway. Oh, I didn't okay. either.
It's all what we'd you know, rules of construction.
Yeah, we've already been through it, but I was going to suggest the council would benefit from seeing.
Yeah, I'll make sure the markup's in there. In fact, we're going to need to do a work session just so they have it's a lot of not major changes, but there's a lot of targeted changes all over the place. So we'll want to cover it with them. So I'm going to pan down to the. Yeah, here we go. So here's where you see the residential facility on the, then you see up there under F, residential care homes. So they're permitted already, but residential facility was not allowed in the R1 and R2. And again, that's to distinguish the homes being up to, it's either up to five or six. It's in the statute. And then the facilities being five, six to, I think, 15 on the top end.
What's it called after that?
I think it's, you know, I don't know off the top of my head. I have to go back and look. There probably is one. It's probably then starting to get it into a much more commercial, much into a level of activity that would not be appropriate in a residential area, just given the scale. But I don't know what the definition is.
The one on 35th seems pretty much a plump chunk in the middle of residences, it seems like.
Which one are you thinking about? Like on southeast 35th as you head out to Idaho Point?
Yeah, well, on the before you hit the bay front on 35th, on the right, there's one in there.
Right by the townhouses.
Yes. right next door to the townhouses in some single family.
Yeah, you know, and that's in a tsunami overlay now, but it was that was established before restrictions on having sensitive populations in these areas that are hard to evacuate.
But we do have some over 15, and, you know.
Yeah, that would be a nursing home, that one is, and we do have that as a use category. I'm fairly certain that's a
nursing home. I didn't know what it was.
Okay.
Not real clear, but.
I think it's a memory care facility now.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, did it change over to assisted living?
Yeah.
That's possible. Yep.
Memory care.
Okay. And then the other place was here. This is on the commercial and industrial list. So you have the residential care home / residential facilities. We had to allow them in the commercials, which is the first three zones. But then I-1 and I-2 were caveated and are still prohibited in heavy industrial, which was part of what was in the bill. And they get their little footnote down here at the bottom. Outside of that, all of these are the changes we discussed and covered, I think, in detail at the work session. And they're all itemized here. So it's going to clean up things pretty nicely in a number of areas where, you know, just over the years, when you have all of those amendments, you end up getting some things that were missed. And that's what we went and cleaned up.
Yeah, right out you're looking at, is that from that new system? Is this the old?
This stuff right here with the markups? Yeah. This is all the old stuff.
Okay, and what's the status of the code in the new system?
It's all up to date at this point on Muni codes. You can use it. I thought I pointed that out to you guys.
Maybe. I was sort of expecting to get a PDF of some sort, but oh, I can get it off of there?
Yeah, it's all electronic. That would be a massive document to do the whole Muni codes that way.
Well, PDF, that, you know, has no size limit. All right.
It's really, if you go to Muni codes, you hit the state of Oregon, and then you get...
They have to take every one of these then and go in and type them in now to their system?
Yeah, they'll have to update
once
those.
Once this gets approved?
Yeah, and that's done on a quarterly basis. So we had a couple of ordinances that are going to get picked up as part of their August update. We should see those anytime now. This, I believe, will end up in the November update. Because they'll do them quarterly.
So it's going to be in effect for a couple of months, probably.
Yeah, that's what we bought.
Before it shows in publicly accessible.
Yeah, so, and that's going to be the case just on an ongoing basis. We're going to have, ideally, probably no more than one, you know, two or three ordinances that we have to implement directly for some period of time before they get updated as part of the quarterly updates.
Well, that's the way the system works, I guess. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
I would encourage you to try the Muni codes format. I mean, it is a whole lot more user-friendly in terms of being able to navigate, find information, print off what you want, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay, any discussion by the commission here? Doesn't look like it. So we need a motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the pass forward to the city council, the draft zoning ordinance, the housekeeping amendments are set forth in file 3Z25.
I'll second that.
Okay. We got a motion to forward it on, and we got a second, so all in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstains? Don't hear any. Approved. Okay. And we now move to the director comments.
Yeah. So just moving forward, we've for October, so this stuff will go to, so the city council's got a second hearing on the comp plan component of the city center revitalization for 9-2. I think if I didn't mention it to you, they only had a bare quorum for the scheduled public hearing. Since there was only four of them, and this has been a big deal and a lot of work has been put into it, they wanted to make sure the other council members had an opportunity to vote. So they carried it over to 9-2. Dustin attended as the rep for the citizen advisory committee and let him know kind of his thoughts as the chair of the citizen advisory committee for that project. That was the only testimony they received. So the and I don't know if that's going to, you know, change for the second, but anyway, they, I expect them to take action on the second on that. And then these two will go to them at the, I believe it's the 6th of October meeting for them, just given how the dates land. So these two will go then. And then we're getting close to having the project, OSU student housing. They had been dredging the pond. And that'll continue for that. They should be mostly done with the dredging right now, but they'd worked out with the Tryons next to that 40th Street pond to allow the material to settle out on that site before they trucked it to the airport where it's going to be permanently disposed. And so that's probably going to take a few days for them to do that. And then that's one of the last things they needed to do on that project. That project is looking like they'll have it wrapped up by the middle of October, and they'll do a ribbon cutting at that point. And then the other project that's almost done is the one we have with the joint fire facility up on the north side of town, close to you guys, up on 73rd. I expect that joint fire facility, the City of Newport, Oregon Department of Forestry facility, to be completed, and they'll be doing their ribbon cutting. I think it's tentatively scheduled for October 24th. And we have to get a final lease agreement in place, and I'm working with their folks on that. That'll go to council before the 24th. So that's how that's going. And then the island annexation's moving forward. We're probably looking at a October hearing date here with you guys. I have the tax impacts on summarized from on an individual parcel basis by the county assessor's office. And so I think the tact we're going to take on this is just kick out individualized notices to the, it was 46 tax lots. So it's a little bit smaller number of actual owners, but individual letters to each of those folks saying, okay, here's what the process is, here's what your tax impact is. And as you know, we're going to be standing that up, pairing that with a rebate program for folks down there to incentivize connection to the sewer system. And so that rebate program, at least the agreement between the Urban Renewal Agency and the city, will be something that's acted upon before the end of the calendar year, but will extend over the next probably couple of years. So that's moving along as well. So lots going on. Oh, in Windhaven, I have to get a decision on their traffic impact analysis for their phase three done here pretty soon. If that's appealed, it'll go to you guys, but I don't know if an appeal will be filed on that. And they're anxious to actually get under construction. We have them under plan review right now. And Toyota is also, that's a conditional use. That's coming forward to you guys. That's been noticed. I believe that's for the 22nd of September. You'll have a public hearing on Toyota's slightly modified conditional use proposal. They're going with a smaller, slightly smaller building, changed its orientation. But not major changes, but enough that they had to go back through a conditional use review.
And tell us about the Bi-Mart Farm Store slipped into your report.
No action from them right now. They own the property. They haven't proceeded with development. Now we for the signal at 40th and 101 now have all of our documentation formally submitted with the state traffic engineer, and so we've got it to that level now for formal authorization. There are two diagrams that we still need to get them. One's a truck turn movement, and the other's the 30% on the signal pole placement, signal intersection design. But it's all coming together on that.
Was any of that property that the Bi-Mart may build on, was any of that property a portion of the property that South Beach Church had purchased?
No, the property that South Beach Church purchased is the one with the boat, is totally separate. That's on the southeast corner of the intersection. The Bi-Mart property is on the northeast corner, and that was owned by a different party.
Yeah, but it went east a ways, and I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all that was all owned by Rich Richmond for a number of years before he sold to Bimart. So that's all I got.
Okay, good with us.
Thank you.
The regular session has ended at 7:43.